You're listening to Perspective on WFHR 1320 AM 97.5 FM. I'm Melissa Kay, bringing you news in our community. During this interview, I'm talking with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher on Thursday, March 19th. Thank you for joining me, Matt, to bring a community an update from the city of Wisconsin Rapids.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Melissa.
It's always great to talk with you. So we've got a few things happening in the city. I mean, there's always things happening in the city, but we're going to cover some of them today. Talking about, let's start off with the safety in our city. You've got approval to hire 3 new firefighter paramedics for the city of Wisconsin Rapids.
Yeah, we worked long and hard, probably about a year and a half, to get all these contracts together, work with all the communities, with the understanding that the increased money that they were, we were asking them to pay for would go into a cooperative where they would hire 6 total paramedic firefighters, 3 of which were already hired 2 years ago, and then with the additional money, 3 more paramedic firefighters, and put a piece of money, chunk of money away every year for the next 12 years to purchase a new ambulance in the rotation of 4 ambulances that we purchased. So they all agreed to that. So we finalized the details and got the council to approve it. And we start the process now of hiring 3 new paramedic firefighters.
And is some of the complexity behind this issue the fact that there's mutual aid and a lack of resources in some of the far out rural areas?
Yeah, there's a lot of issues that go into it. The number one driver being call volume for us. But the problem is that the expense of everything got to the point where the outlying areas couldn't justify having their own entire department and be able to fund it. Mm-hmm. So this was kind of a, again, we call it a cooperative. It was saying, if all of you guys need to have 2 paramedic firefighter, 2 paramedics and an ambulance, but it's they don't all need to have their own. So basically they came together and they're hiring 6 paramedic firefighters or paramedics and buying 1 ambulance and then asking us to house it and take care of all the
maintenance
and the side stuff. Like, we just went for the wages and benefits for 6 paramedics and 1 ambulance, and we thought that was good because we as Wisconsin Rapids need to have the size of fire department and paramedics that we have because of state statutes, because we're over 10,000 people. So we have the buildings, we have the infrastructure, we have all these things that they can't build. And if they try to build it, it's just going to cost too much. So this was a happy medium, but at the same time, they're paying, because they're about 25% of our call volume, they're paying for 25% of the personnel and the ambulance, and they're agreeing to share those costs and we'll house them, which gives them the upper hand too, or not the upper hand, but a fair deal, because it's not that ambulance and those 6 paramedics are just there for them. They're in our mix. So if 2 calls come in from St. Nicusa, we're still sending 2 ambulances. But at the same time, we get the benefit of, if those calls aren't coming in, we have the benefit of using them in our community also. So it's a win-win for them, and it's a win-win for us because our residents are not subsidizing the paramedics and the ambulance that are being sent out there. They're paying their fair share for the whole program, and everybody's happy. I mean, nobody's happy about the money, but it's only going to get more over the years. And this system is set up that it automatically renews every year. There's a 24-month out clause if somebody does want to make a change, but the increase goes according to what the wages and benefits are and what the cost of the ambulance goes up, and that'll be transparent. We're meeting once a quarter with everybody from these areas so that we're functioning kind of as one unit, so everybody knows what's going on and they don't have to worry about budgeting something else every year. They're going to know, you know, at least a quarter ahead of time what that cost is going to be and be prepared for it. So
is this a certain, like, mile radius outside of the city of Wisconsin Rapids? And I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yeah,
do you know
yeah.
the communities that are involved in
yeah,
this
so
fair?
Right now,
trade?
The communities end up being more the southern communities. So it would be Village of Port Edwards, Town of Port Edwards, Saratoga, Cranmore, Ho-Chunk, and then there's a village around the Ho-Chunk Casino that we're still talking about, but we're, you know, it's been there for us to service, so we'll work on that.
NACUSA?
NACUSA is the other one in there. So they're all in one group. And then Beeren was with us. They decided to go with United at this time. And United is somebody that we do have mutual aid with. They're a private company. We didn't want to compete with them because more than we already kind of were in the end. But the costs that we proposed are not anywhere near in the ballpark. And that was fair enough for us to say, we're not competing with you. If they choose us, it's because of the services and the right. level of services that we provide. Excuse me. So United is there. Gary and Sandy Johnson do a great job with it, and we're there to help them. They're there to help us, but they kind of service the northern ones now. Beeren had chosen to go with them, so they service them in Grand Rapids and okay. Seneca and Rudolph and I think Siegel. So
okay. those so guys kind of everything there. Up and over mm-hmm. on the
northern
side. And
but we also have to be prepared because we'll see what happens in the future. You know, mm-hmm. like we can't count anything out of the realm of possibility. If somebody mm-hmm. disappears, we have to be here. Right. So if we can set up a system that's fair for everybody and keeps the cost in line with what they can do and what we can provide, I think that's the best case scenario, and kind of see what happens from there. But it was something that had to be addressed. And this is a really good program, and I think it's going to be a model for other communities to work with mm-hmm. versus trying to recreate a district. Because once you start doing that, then you got to start sharing the costs for everything. Mm-hmm. And then it gets really in the weeds, especially for Wood County, because we have two larger municipalities. That's not typical for most counties, mm-hmm. but it does make it more difficult for us as you get further and further away. So this really is kind of integral to Wisconsin Rapids and all the surrounding communities that are around us as one community.
And how long did this process take? Like, how long have you been working on figuring out how this agreement would work between all of these different areas?
I think, you know, it's going on 2 years that I've been in. I know this was something that we were working on. In all reality, it started probably 5 years ago when I first got on council. It was the question and before that. But the problem is for us was the call volume was continuing to go up because 911 is being... I say this, it's being, I don't know if it's misused or if it's just, it's become something that it wasn't designed to be. It was an mm-hmm. emergency call. So if you're in mm-hmm. trouble, call. Now we're getting calls. And again, lift assists are important because we have to get everybody off the ground and back, you know, moving around. Mm-hmm. But if those calls are coming in at such a rate, and they don't get any payment for them so it would just be a call that we're going out to, and all the nursing homes we're calling. So we're working with them to train them better mm-hmm. to lower that call volume. And then you have a lot of people who are calling maybe to get a ride to the hospital because they can get in quicker, or you're getting calls of people who just need some help in their house. There's a lot of reasons that our EMS was being called that wasn't emergency calls. So we're working on them. But as that call volume continues to increase, you have to hire more people in order to, you know, otherwise people are just getting burnt out. Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot of things that go into it, but that was one of the questions. So the call volume, we're working on decreasing and in retraining the public to understand what the purpose is.
The big difference between 911 and non-emergency dispatch.
Non-emergency calls, yeah.
Or something like that.
Once they call 911, it has to go out. It has to go to the EMS, and they have to go by law. So it's something that, you know, and we have the most highly trained people. Where, you know, like I could go into just how great these men and women are because they are amazing. And at the same time, they have the courage to be there for the fires and for these really tough calls that can come. But they also have the compassion to work with people that, you know, it's like there's a lot of people that are pretty old. We have this like bell curve of the baby boom generation, biggest generation ever. And we're at the top of it right now or somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of people and they may not have, you know, kids here anymore or any support system whatsoever. They're in this house that they outgrew a long time ago, but they're not going to leave. And, you know, they want to stay there until the end comes, which is fine. But we have to figure out a system that works because EMS is not that system. It shouldn't be. And it wasn't designed for that. I mean, you have these guys and girls that are highly trained to be doing what they're doing. It's a mobile hospital, basically, and it needs to be used as such because otherwise we're going to burn these folks out. So yeah, it's a lot of kind of working together, retraining, re-educating people to say, okay, you know, this is what that's there for. But at the same time, if we're going to get into that ballpark where we're working with people on more of a health basis, like a social basis, mm-hmm. then that's a lot
like
of
kind
what
of a
we're
home health care.
Yeah, we're working with the county on that. We have a co-responder, which we could talk a lot about too. That's really helping bridge the gap between like the important services that the county has and the city has, mm-hmm. But getting the right people to the right services versus, again,
calling 911,
misusing the services that are there. So that could be, it looks to me like that's the direction we're going in, where we have a co-responder where, you know, if the police go and they do their job, but they have to leave, you send in a co-responder to make sure that those folks that, you know, had a horrible night have mm-hmm. the services or connections to the services that they need. Or if there's somebody in their house that needs in-home care but doesn't know where to get it, mm-hmm. this is the person
can
that can connect
them to help you find those
that.
Resources.
Great program.
Yeah.
Just a little plug. It's called Co-Responder. Jen Farnborough is the person right now that's in that position. Mm-hmm. They're hired by ODC, but they're funded through Legacy for 3 years, and we're 1 year into that three-year program right now.
Okay.
And mostly they work with the police department, but right behind that is the EMS department, mm-hmm. more so than the fire, although it's very like mixed, the, mm-hmm. the EMS and fire. They're all the same personnel and responsibilities. So.
And while the program is new, I've been hearing good things about it.
Oh, great. And I'm glad. I'm trying to get it out as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Try to just bridge the gap of communication and make sure people know what we're doing, why we're doing it, how we're doing it.
And that is something that keeps coming up over and over, is this how difficult it is to have that communication and make sure departments are able to communicate with each other, and that the public knows where and who to call. For what issues. And the city website, the work that you guys did there, I think really does help find a lot of those resources.
That's good to hear. I appreciate that. I think we're going to keep adding services to that to make sure everybody can get them. Mm-hmm. It's a huge, huge beneficial tool for communication. Again, I give credit to you guys, for the radio work that you guys do, the podcasting that's going on, that's building. Newspapers and TV, like it's there. It's just not, it's not the one size fits all anymore. So I respect everybody in newspaper, TV, radio that are still trying to do the job to make sure we can get our education, information, and news as we continue to build up the platforms of the internet and the computer systems that we have mm-hmm. that are a part of it too now. So it'll be interesting to see what comes in the next 10 years.
Won't it though?
Yeah.
Well, this is a good spot for us to take a brief pause, hear from our sponsors. I'm Melissa Kay talking with Mayor Matt Zacher, and you're listening to Perspective on 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, WFHR. Welcome. You're listening to Perspective on WFHR 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. I'm Melissa Kay, bringing you news in our community. I'm speaking with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher, and where we left off, we were talking about the EMS, new addition of some firefighter paramedics, and just the services that are available, ways of communicating. Another thing to do with the budget here for the city of Wisconsin Rapids is a 2.5% bonus for city employees. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, it's a little tricky. So I kind of knew coming into my election 2 years ago was that we're going to go through some sticking points here because of the mill closure, and they're trying to figure out what it was worth versus what it is worth now. And somewhere in between is where that number lines up. As well as we had a transportation utility that we had designed to help out with some of the costs for street and building new streets and street repair and all that stuff. And that kind of got axed because of the state at the state level. So we had to move away from that. We haven't moved in to test other areas of possible revenue. But at the same time, most, residents and businesses are always going to say, well, before you just start looking at trying to get more money from us, make sure that you're down as low as you can go with the services that are there. Mm-hmm. The tricky part is it's service-based. It's not, government's tricky, right? It's a business, but it's a business based on, how the money comes in, and it kind of comes in automatically, but it's based on us. Like we are the ones that pay it. And so you got to take care of us and treat us right so we feel mm-hmm. connected to it. The problem is, as that levy tax base continues to, you know, decrease and we don't have the other revenues, it's going to be a continual conversation of how do we meet the budget. Right. And this year, moving from 25 into 26, we ran into a $850,000 shortfall.
Right.
And in that came temporarily saying, all right, in order for us to make this budget work, there's all the departments went back to the drawing board and came back with lower budgets for the next year, which I appreciated greatly. They did it of their own accord. So thank you to the department heads. But still, in order to meet a $450,000 shortfall after that, we met it by saying there's three positions that were open that we put a hiring freeze on, and we did not fill those positions. Mm-hmm. And they're still out there. And then the other one was not giving a cost of living increase mm-hmm. to the non-represented workers, which is always tricky too, because you have the union firefighters, paramedics, and the police officers, which is good, you know, for them in that sense, because they're able to negotiate on a higher level. But it's not, you know, the sticking part, you know, that comes in is then you also have to take care of the rest of the employees. Now the unions are locked in for 3 years and we don't have enough money to give a cost of living increase to the rest of the employees. So that's going to cause some hardship. What we chose to do after the budget came in, we were able to solidify these contracts and kind of figure out better where the revenues were coming in and what that looked like. And so we were able to say, let's do a 2.5% bonus this year. And so we're working through that and what that looks like. But again, it's tricky because that's a bonus. It's not a cost of living increase that goes right on top of the salary or wages that mm-hmm. people are making already. So then in 2007, it's going to revert back to 2005 wages. So then we're kind of falling behind, though we are very competitive. I mean, they are very good jobs and they pay very well and they get good benefits. But at the same time, you know, people are used to, you know, having that job and getting that increase.
Right.
So
an
when
increase,
it doesn't happen.
Not a decrease. Because next year it's going to feel like a decrease if you can't find space in the budget to include that.
Right. So yeah, it's never fun, and certainly you know, it's the hard part about any business or government is like you have to be prepared to shrink, hopefully do it, you know, without letting people go, because nobody wants to do that. That's the worst case scenario. That's why we chose to just freeze at a certain point until we could figure out what was going on instead of bringing people on and then saying, you know, sorry. Right. So we didn't have to do that, and hopefully we don't have to, but it's going to come down to finding new revenues or continuing to decrease the cost of the government, the municipal government. But again, the cost comes, the main part is people. And the people provide services. We're police, we're fire, EMS, we're making the streets work. And I know that's a frustrating point for everybody. I won't go into that right now, but we are investing a lot in the streets, and we're working through a 15-20-year plan to make sure all the streets are kept up on. Outside of that, it's some administration, you know, that plays into it. The library, that, you know, people love the library. The zoo's out there. Like, you know, these are all things that make us such an awesome community. We have people moving into the community all the time. People that grew up here and are moving back. New families that are coming in. You know, so we have a lot of great things going for us. New businesses coming in. We got a lot of entrepreneurial programs that are starting at the grassroots and moving up through the school systems and the technical school and Mid-State Technical College. So all great things are happening, but again, it's going to be some pain over the next 10 years in order to readjust accordingly.
Well, and hopefully some new industry is going to be coming in soon over at the craft mill site. I haven't really heard anything about that, and we haven't talked about that either. Are there any updates on that area?
Just going through real quick, Sunoco bought the base mill, so that they're increasing employees there and bringing in new machines and bringing in new, sub-renters, you know, people that are coming in and working their own businesses there. Billerud is in the converting mill, and they're staying there, and they're increasing. Between them, they have about 315 employees.
Okay.
The craft mill is in its final stages. The buildings are down. They just got to clean up the rubble, getting the rebar out of the cement, which is, you know, not the most fun part of the job, but that's what's got to get done and finish that up. So that's where the power is and the people to be able to build buildings there. Hopefully, you know, mostly manufacturing, most likely will be some data centers that are coming in. We don't, you know, we want jobs, and we are talking at the council level about just tweaking and putting an ordinance in place to define what a data center is. So we have a good idea just where they fit in and how we, you know, where we fit in. We don't want to wait until after they come in and then start putting in ordinances, because then we can get ourselves in trouble. Yeah. And it's just not good for business. Mm-hmm. So we are kind of finalizing some of that stuff just to make sure we're all on the same page. But we do want that. We do want QEBCO, Consolidated Water and Power, to be a strong company. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that provide power to all the mill. That's their space. They run the 5 dams from Dubay all the way down to Rapids. So. Mm-hmm. Good company. We want them to be strong. We want everybody else that, you know, in the area to be strong, but enough manufacturing companies will in that area would also obviously help with employment situations.
And just to clarify, the city doesn't own that.
The city owns none of
but
this.
But there's very little, like you said, by putting ordinances in place, is that the only way you have any bit of control over what happens there?
Yep, for the most part, put in ordinance, just, it's really like zoning code, like defining what it is. It's not like the city doesn't and shouldn't have, even though I know there's lots of, you know, stories out there about, you know, this and that and who let what businesses in. But ultimately, the only time the city gets involved is when they want to open up a building. We need to make sure it's safe for public use, whether it's industrial, manufacturing, residential, commercial. And that just fits into the code, like this building is going to be used for manufacturing, and it fits into this book of code and the map of it that we voted in 2018 before I ever got on the council.
Can and can't be built on certain properties.
And that's where people, you know, get frustrated, because it's kind of controlling the future of the city versus what happened in the past is every you know, whatever. To me, it was a little bit like whatever happened. They must have had planners, because the streets are pretty straight and square when it comes to blocks and all that.
True,
so something was happening, but there wasn't. And I don't know, like, in all honesty, as just a resident and a business owner, I like the diversity of, like, you know, a restaurant here, you know, the bar restaurants opened up in the middle of neighborhoods because we didn't have cars at the time and we were in a different boat. Now the concept is we need to have, you know, commercial lanes like Grand Avenue and A Street, you know, but then that's all you have there. And then you struggle to make them look nice. And so then you vote in a book of code that says you got to have more plants and trees. And that just makes more people angry, because now you're trying to control every little move. So we've done a good job taking some of that code. Kyle Kearns, I give him credit, because I put some pressure on to say we need to get rid of some of this, or we can vote out the whole book and vote in a new one that's less restrictive. We chose at that time to kind of focus on individual code sections in there and try to scale them down and
revamping
make it a little
that bit a little, the existing codes.
I mean, it's tricky when you vote it in. Nobody, you know, you got to be a pretty, you know, motivated person to read the entire book and then understand what it actually means in practice.
That's the trick.
Yeah, because now what happens is somebody comes to the city and says, I want to do this. And they're like, okay, well, this is the code that matches that. And you don't match up with the code. And now you're
asking for a zoning change or a thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
so
it just causes a lot of heartache. Whereas ultimately you want to be a community that says, yeah, let's get busy and let's make things happen. But you got to do it safe.
Right. That is true. Yeah. Well, one other thing and a more fun topic we should talk about in our last minute here is the 4th of July celebration. More's happening in the front there.
Yeah, I've been talking a lot about this. We just got it past council just to give them the preliminaries of what's going on. It's not, you know, it's not hugely different. Like, we've had the 4th of July downtown, you know, for as long as I can remember. I've been here 20 years, but it's kind of taken on different shapes. And since COVID, I think it slowed down up till that point and then kind of died for a while. Last year was the first year I said we should get a band again. Mm. And I don't necessarily know if it's like the city's responsibility, but I think if we can be the spark that ignites this future thing. So we went, Emily Kent again did a great job bringing people together from the community, talking through the website, through our social media, communicating, getting ideas. We ended up, you know, let's get a name for it so we know what it is. Ended up being Rapids River Fest Freedom, or Rapids Riverside Freedom Festival.
Okay, that's nice.
Most likely it'll kind of boil down to Freedom Fest.
Sure.
Freedom Fest. Rapids Riverside Freedom Fest. So it's exciting, and mm-hmm. that can be something that's the catalyst for the future.
For
right now, we're
that.
Working with Friends of Music, Friends of Rapids Music, and mm-hmm. they put the bands on. So we'll have a band from about noon till 9 o'clock.
Nice.
At 9 o'clock, we'll do the transition, have some music playing, and then do the national anthem, which leads right into the fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a kids zone down in the parking lot by the movie theater. We're going to spread out the vendors a little bit more to get people walking from east side to west side, have more things going on, have some hopefully some things. There's going to be some crafts going on in there, and I've heard, talk about yoga in the park, and
oh,
we got
fun.
Bingo going up at the Centralia Center.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're working on some teenager activities, dunk tanks, stuff like that.
Ooh.
So anything that we can do to bring people down for more of the day
mm-hmm.
And get them excited about being there and just
so
having a fun time.
So if you want the teenagers to do the dunk tank thing, who do you think is the best? We got to get...
I think Melissa Kay would be a great one.
You want to put me in the dunk tank? You know what? I've done that before. I'm not opposed to it. But I think we should get the Lincoln High School principal in there.
Yeah.
And
so we have some.
Would you sit in there, Matt?
I will. I'm on the docket right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, are you
there.
Really?
And
that's
I
great.
Did say.
What about Sheriff Becker?
Yeah, I think they're asking
yeah?
him. So what we did is we had some kids from the high school participate in the conversation
nice.
with the committees and that. And that was their, they came up with a list of names. So they're reaching out now to the principals and vice principals
oh,
and everybody
fun.
And the mayor and sheriff and police chief. We'll see.
That's
we'll
good.
See how it says yes.
Oh,
I did do
great.
One like 2 years ago, but it was like somewhere like more into the fall. And it was
oh,
so cold.
So cold. They didn't heat
yeah.
the tank up for you?
No.
Oh,
just,
man.
It was fun, but it was horrible.
Fun but horrible.
Yeah.
I think we need that on a t-shirt, Matt.
Fun but horrible. But this year it'll be 4th of July. So, of course, the hardest part about setting stuff like this up is it going to be 110 degrees
right.
or is it going to be raining
right.
all day?
You just
so
never know.
You don't know, so you kind of wish for the best. The bands will be playing regardless.
Mm-hmm.
The fireworks will be the next day, after the 5th of July.
If there's a rain
if
day.
If there's a rain day. So
mm-hmm.
we'll defer it for one day, but we wouldn't do the...
festivities
the, mm-hmm. the next day, so it,
yeah,
it would
be hard
a little
to
bit
move
weird.
Everything, but
the fireworks will go on as long as there's not lightning and you
okay.
know thunder. I guess they kind of
sure.
go hand in hand. But if
mm-hmm.
it's just raining, they will
bring your
off.
Umbrella.
Yeah, maybe we did that. I think 2 years ago.
We should get clear umbrellas. Then you could watch the fireworks through
yeah.
the umbrella. But it's not going to rain. I
farmers
don't know
market,
what we're even talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Farmers market's
hey,
going to
hey.
Be down there during
nice.
The 4th of July
oh,
since
cool.
it falls on that day. So that's exciting. So
awesome.
I think if we can get set what we have set, and then we can kind of build from there to make it, more. And if, it can be anything the community wants it to be. It shouldn't be a city thing overall, but at the same time, everything needs a leader. So
right
now.
You got to start somewhere.
Yeah, Emily Kent is the leader on this. Jake Klingsforth is the Parks and Rec director. He's going to be there just to make sure things are connected. And if anything needs to happen, he can make it happen.
Wonderful.
So I appreciate him putting that extra time. We did just get the okay to put together a sponsorship program from the council. Well, we already had it put together. They approved it. So I'm going to be reaching out to businesses and families and all that to
involved.
See if we can't get some money behind it. Right now, the city sponsors about $25,000 worth of fireworks, which is our money in the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot, but the price of the fireworks went up 20%.
Right.
So
it's
we either pay
down.
20% more or get 20% less.
20% less fireworks.
But I can't keep, you can't keep taking it out of a budget that's
right.
already, fighting
very,
to,
very
to survive.
Very, very tight. Yeah.
So I'll be coming out to people. Again, I feel like it's my responsibility to kind of go out and try to build this community thing. I like it. I like asking people for these things because it's really about community.
Right.
It's
and investing in the community.
Mm-hmm. So I look forward to talking to everybody about that. We'll
awesome.
See what happens.
Well, that's a good place for us to wrap up. I'm Melissa Kay speaking with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher. Thank you for talking with me today, Matt.
Thanks, Melissa. Appreciate it.
And thank you to listeners joining us for news in our community on Perspective 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, WFHR.